walk back to where my ATV was to go and drive up and drag him out, and the ATV wouldn't start. So I said, okay, praise the Lord in all things, give thanks, the Bible says. And I was praising the Lord, and I tried pull starting it, and that didn't work. So I thought, well, and so I walked back to the cabin, which is about a quarter of a mile or a little more than a quarter of a mile, and got my son's machine and came back out and brought the deer out and was hanging it up so I could skin it and so forth. And while I was doing that, I cut another finger. And this one was pretty deep, and so I was bleeding some more. I knew that some of that blood there was mine. And we didn't have a lot of, we have a first aid box at the cabin, but it's all it is the first, which means there's no aid to it. And so I thought, well, I'll just go into Birchwood and get some Band-Aids. So I got in the truck and it wouldn't start. So I said, okay. So I don't know about the rest of you, but my praise sometimes only goes so far. But I'm trying to be obedient. So I'm praising the Lord. And so there was some gauze in that first aid box. That's about all there was. So I wrapped it and I put some duct tape on it. It works, you know. We didn't have any super glue. I might have glued it. But anyway, so spent the night by myself, and I was trying to work on today's message, I was struggling. And somebody might say, oh, the enemy was against you. Well, he could have been. He doesn't bother me that much. And I mean, he bothers me, but he doesn't bother me that much, if you understand what I'm saying. I don't let him bother me that much. So then the next day, my son, he's a good mechanic, and I said, let me try this here, because, and I went and I couldn't start the truck again, and Dave said, well, what's the amount of gas is in it? I said, well, it shows halfway between a quarter of a tank and empty. All right? So that's, what, an eighth of a tank? I don't know. But anyway, he said, well, maybe you should try putting some gas in. So I put in a couple of gallons of gas, and it started right up. Well, this vehicle my son gave to me, and he didn't tell me that when the thing is on quarter, fill it up. Anyway, it was an interesting weekend. We have some meat, Lois. We've got to take care of that. But I look at all this stuff as just part of life. All right? It's part of life. Just because we're Christians does not mean we're exempt from life and what life brings to us. And there's a lot of things about life that are not easy. And we all know that. Everyone here knows that there are times and situations that we face and deal with that are just not easy. And yet we walk through them, okay? Last Sunday, Pastor Jason talked about this whole thing of becoming a Christian. He mentioned the Bible that says you must be born again, and he talked about that. And then he talked about being born of the Spirit. And so there's got to be this place where we start this process. And that's when we give our life to Jesus Christ. We ask him to forgive us of our sins and to come into our life and become the Lord of our life. One of the verses he mentioned was John 3:16. And I want to, if you'll bring that up, I want us to kind of, and again, how many of you know what this is? What is it? It's a Bible. What? God's Word. Do you all believe that? If you believe it, raise your hand. Okay, that's just about all of you, or I guess all of you. I didn't see one of the little ones not raise their hand, but anyway. Have you ever painted a floor and backed yourself into a corner? Anybody ever done that? Am I the only one that's ever done that? I got a couple other takers. Good. I don't feel alone. I'm backing you into a corner because you just told me that this was the Word of God. The next question is this: do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? Let me ask you again, do you really believe it? Good. Because we're all in the same place right now. I believe with all my heart. That's why it says when in all things give thanks. Even when you cut your finger. Even when the ATV won't start. Even when the truck won't start. Even when, you do what? You give thanks. If you really believe it's the Word of God, because it says in 1 Thessalonians, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God. So if you really believe it's the Word and you really believe it's God, then in all things give thanks. In fact, there's another place where it says, for all things give thanks. Ouch. That's not always easy, but that's what it says. Back up to John 3:16. For God, who? God, so loved. Okay? The Bible says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. For God so loved the world. Who's the world? Who's the world? Let's bring it down to home. Who's the world? Us, we, me, us, okay? That he gave. So because of his love for Arvid, he gave his one and only son. And who's the son? Jesus. That whoever, or that if Arvid believes in Jesus, he shall not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, so if we want eternal life and we don't want to perish, we have to believe in Jesus, the one and only Son of God, that because of God's love, he gave for the very purpose to take care of the sins that were keeping us away from him so that we can life. Y'all agree with that so far? All right. What is eternal life? Forever. Okay, forever. But what is it? You see, and if everybody had a chance, we'd all have different ideas and so forth of what is eternal life. But I want to go back to the Word of God, and I want to see what Jesus said the Word of life is. John 17:3, which is, sorry, but it is my favorite verse in the Bible. It says, now this is eternal life. Oh, Jesus is talking, so everybody listen up. All right, this is the Word of God. So the Son of God, which is God, he was equal with God. He's telling us what eternal life is. What is eternal life? That knowing God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. What's the most important word in that verse for us? What is it? Know. All right, and sometimes I get accused of being a broken record, but I want to share with you what knowing is. I understand, I have done probably the most exhaustive study of any word I've ever done is the word knowing. I have a book called Kittles, and it's just an abridged edition But when you look it up in the 12-volume edition, it's 23 or 4 pages of definition of the word knowing. It'll wear you out. But there are 4 words that really started coming through to me. And one of them is growing, another is progressing, another is constant or stability or stable and intimate. And understand this, that knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ is having a growing, progressing, constant or stable, intimate relationship with God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. So all of a sudden, these words become important to us. What is knowing? Well, it's these 4 words. So I did a study on them, and I want to share some of those things of what the Word teaches us about eternal life. The word growing. Dan, I'm sorry to pick on you, but you don't grow crops, but you. What's the purpose for what you do? You got all these acres of land that you raise crops on. So why? To feed people and yourself, right? Right. Would you do it if one kernel of corn produced one kernel of corn? Why not? Anybody else want to answer? Why wouldn't he do that? It wouldn't be worth it. I mean, there's that guy. He's going to realize that he's spending all that money and all that equipment and so forth. And for what? He's only getting one seed for one seed. Why would anybody do that? So a growing relationship, you grow for abundance. That's why you grow. You want more. You achieve the highest yield. And I know that what Dan and Amy do in raising crops, I know that they're doing all this stuff because they want the biggest return that they can get. And they want increase. The Bible talks about planting a seed and getting multiple seeds in response. All right, and I know that as in the farming world, that you plant you get seed that you know is good seed. I mean, it'd be senseless to go out there and plant a bunch of seed that was no worthless. It just wouldn't do anything. I mean, Lois and I love to garden, and sometimes you go out there and garden and you plant this row and 2 things come up. What do you do? We go out and plant some more. You know, try and find. And then you think, well, what kind of seed was that? I'm not going to get that next year. Okay? And so grow, the purpose is to be fruitful. The purpose is to grow in abundance. The process is that there's preparation. I remember back in the farm that we would prepare the soil. And then we would plant, and we would plant the best seed that we could hands on. And then we wouldn't water it because, but you have farmers today, crop farmers, who have watering systems. Some of them do, and you drive by and you see these big watering things. So they're watering, and you feed it, you fertilize it, and you weed it either through. We used to cultivate, and now they use different things. But who is it that makes it grow? Anybody? God. So the purpose is to gain and to increase. The process is that there are some things that we can do. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. I planted, Paul said, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. So neither one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters, have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You're God's field, God's building. It's God that makes it grow. You see, if we could make it, we wouldn't need God. But every farmer, every crop farmer out there knows that when it's all said and done, it's God that makes it grow. Oh, we like to take credit for it sometimes, but it's still God that makes it grow. There's nothing more beautiful than a plowed field. There's nothing more beautiful than a planted field. And it's nothing more exciting than to begin to see those plants break through and begin to grow. And we, Lois and I, love to garden, and we sit there and we watch, and it gets bigger and bigger and so forth. And you got to understand, I love cherry tomatoes, and I've had cherry tomato plants that have been 11 feet high and produced hundreds and hundreds of cherry tomatoes. In the morning, I go out there and I grab some peas off the big climbing vines and some tomatoes. I have my own vegetable breakfast, before I have coffee. I love it, okay? But it's God that does it. It's God that does it. Then it's progressing. The word progressing means advancement, going forward, to make headway, to forge ahead, to succeed, to develop, to progress. What would have happened if in the early days our ancestors would have quit the Mississippi River and said, we can't do this anymore? And everybody got to the Mississippi River and said, that's it. Then we would have cities on the east side of the Mississippi and nothing on the other side. But you know what? They forged on. You see, they progressed. And part of our relationship with God is not that it's growing, but we got to progress. We don't stay babies, the Bible says. You just don't stay eating the milk of the Word. You got to get into the meat of the Word. You got to grow. You got to progress. And a lot of Christians give their life to Jesus and they quit. They stop. First difficulty that comes down the road, they quit. But that's when you forge ahead. All right? And so it takes individuals, but it takes others. That's why this morning as I sat and you were all just talking, I can't, and hear me this morning, I've been a Christian since 1963. I can't go on as a Christian without every single one of you. A baby can't live by itself. They did an experiment. They raised two groups or two puppy litters. One, they just slid food into them. And the other litter, they handled and picked up and loved and so forth. The ones that they just fed and watered began to die. They needed that love. They needed attention. We all do. And so many times, sometimes we walk away from the reality that we need each other. And that's why this church, and let me say this, I don't say this because I'm here and a part of this church. I say this from the depths of my heart. This is one of the most family-centered churches that I've ever, ever, ever been a part of. It's one of the greatest churches in that respect that I've ever been a part of. You guys are phenomenal. And you got to understand it, but you need each other. You need one another. You need each other's support. You need each other's criticism. You need each other's, stand up, let's go, come on. And encouragement, all this stuff. We need it, people. We can't exist without it. And that's why it's so important. But that's how we progress. And then I got to the word constant, and I was really kind of bothered by this. I couldn't find a whole lot of scriptures dealing with being constant. So I began looking at it, and the word that began to come, people, was stability. Becoming firm, maturing, upright, not wavering, correct, true. Moving towards a goal, eyes fixed on Jesus, always correcting, settling, establishing, becoming righteous. And what really hit me was, is the whole thing that being constant as Christians, as knowing God, how many of you use GPS in any way? What's the most irritating thing about GPS? Recalculating. I'll recalculate. I'll tell you what. Okay. You're only going 99, right? Okay. But you know what? That's a major part of being Christian and being in relationship with God. We are always recalculating. We are always in the process. We're always in this process of correcting. You see, I've learned through all these years of walking with God that I've got to be always correcting. This is the plumb line. And every builder knows that if you're using a plumb line, that's what you correct according to. You see, you use a level, and because you want a level, right? And if it's not, or a square, we've got these things that we use on a daily basis. You know, when it all fails, ladies, you can go back and read the recipe if you've forgotten what's in it. But the thing is, this is God's recipe for eternal life. This is God's recipe for knowing Him. And we're always in the process of correcting. Even though I've been a Christian all these years, I still am in the process of recalculating, connecting. Because you know what? I don't have all the answers. But this book does. See, why is it that we try and figure it out ourselves? You know, this is a rabbit trail. Understand this. It bothers me when somebody says this to me. Well, God gave us a mind to think with. Well, yeah. Okay. So we can make our own decisions. Okay. How's that working for you? See, that's all I got to ask. How's that working for you? And you get into God's Word, and all of a sudden there's some things that you begin to realize, wow. And so I'm constantly reading this, and in the process, God is constantly bringing me back to it and correct the way I'm going. So the whole thing of being constant, one of the things I saw in that ability is always correcting and lining up with His plumb line, the Word of God. And it's when we decide we're not going to go and do that, that we begin to waver, that we begin to lose that part of this thing called a relationship with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Wow, I thought, wow, man, okay. Then I got to the word intimate. And guys, help me this morning because I'm not sure that I can totally get this straight. I'm going to try. When I got into the word intimate, I began to see two words. And the first one I can, no problem, intimate, becoming one. Does that meet everybody? You know, I mean, that's usually what we're dealing with. Intimate. Lois and I, two people, got married All right? And the Bible says two shall become one. All right? So, you know, being intimate with each other is the process of becoming one. That's great. I love that. You know, singular and so forth. Then the second word blew me away. The word with. With? I was sharing that on the way this morning with Lois. She said, well, what's with? I don't know what's with. What's with you? You don't know. You know? But it's with. And I thought, what in the world is with? Being one, two shall become one. And then the other part of intimacy is being with. Okay? So I'm that in my head and mull that in my head. I think that's my fingerprinting, but I'm mulling in my head, trying to figure it out. And I want, Jesus came and lived among us, with us. Oneness works itself out by being with. You with me so far? Are you with me so far? Here's some scriptures. To die together with. To crucify with. Being planted with. To raise up together with. Living with. To make alive with. To suffer with. To be glorified with. Co-workers, co-heirs with. Conforming to the same form by being with. You ever notice how with two people that live together long enough, they begin to look like? Or they look like their dog? Have you ever seen those pictures? They spend all this time with the dog, and it's one of these, whatever they are, long ears and so forth, and the woman that owns it's got long hair parted, it looks like ears, and that type of thing. In ministry together with. Walk with me here. Hang on. You can't be one. Two cannot become one unless they are with each other. Divorce happens when the husband and the wife begin to stop being with. Becoming one works its way out by being with. A family stays together by being with each other. And when somebody starts to pull away, they're in the process of stopping being with. Are you getting? I'm not really sure how to explain it, but there's something about that thing of being with. There's nothing that I love any more than being with this lady back here. Gray here. I'm just make sure. This one right here. I love holding her hand. I love walking with her. I love sitting next to her. I love arguing with her. That's being with. Okay? I love the discussions we have. I love how she drives me batty sometimes, but I'm with her. Okay? And that whole process. And so having this relationship with the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus, which gives me eternal life, one of the parts, important parts is that I am, are you listening? That I spend time with them. When you don't spend time with the Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, you are not having a relationship with them. Even though you might at one time giving your life to Jesus Christ, you still are not with them. In Matthew chapter 7, and that's not in the overhead, but chapter 7. Not everyone, this is Jesus talking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know what I've realized, and this morning Lois and I were talking about this, that in order for me to be with Lois, and in order for Lois to be with me, it's a decision. Do you know that most divorces start way before the divorce? When they make a decision to kind of do their own thing, go their own way, do what I want to do. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then, Jesus speaking, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never had this ginosko relationship. I never had this growing relationship with you. I never had this progressing relationship. I never had this constant relationship that was solid and always correcting and lining up. I never had an intimate relationship where we were truly one and where we did things with each other. And because of that, I don't know you. I don't know. I don't care really. You know what? I don't care what we do, what you do. I just want to be with you. I want to have that relationship. And you see, when we do that, we have eternal life. That's eternal life. It's always this process of being in a relationship with God. It's always this process that it's growing and progressing and getting more stable and more intimate. I've been married to Lois 54 years, and it's getting better every day. You know what? Do you know what I'm experiencing? Hear this, people. I've been in ministry since 1967. I feel like, in my spirit, I do, that all these years of being in ministry is a preparation for what's going to happen from here on out. We've got the best years of our life ahead of us. And why? Because we have chosen to maintain the with to create the oneness. We have chosen to maintain the with God the Father and His Son and His Holy Spirit, the oneness. We chose to walk according to this word that we all said we believe in. We've chosen. And I'm not setting myself up as some big no-no because I don't have all the answers. But we've been working at it, folks. I spend more time in His Word today than ever before. I spend more time talking with Him and praying with Him than ever before. I spend more time praising Him and glorifying Him for everything that happens in my life than ever before. And I've not arrived yet. I still got a whole lot more stuff to do. What is it that causes the relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God the Father and the Son? What is it that stops it from happening? I want to go through some scriptures real quickly, and I want you to grab a hold of it. In my mind, as I ask myself a question, what is it that stops that kind of relationship? And there's only one word that came to me, or two words really. It's self-focus. It's becoming self-centered. At 55:8, God says, "For my thoughts are of it are not yours, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." You see, people, but our way, we're already in the process of breaking the relationship. Because he doesn't think the way that we do. You see, somebody says, well, God gave us a mind. Okay, rationalism, the word rationalism, go home and look it up. Rationalism is where everything is determined by how you rationalize it out. Basically, that's what it is. It's how you think about it. Okay? Humanism is it's actually a belief system that believes that man can decide and come up with all the answers without any influence from a supernatural God. How does that describe where we're at in the world? We think it out. We don't need God anymore because, you know, like back in Adam and Eve, you know, she partook of the food, and the Bible says that all the trees were good to look at and good for food, and Satan adds one more item to it, and they will make you like God, and so they partook of it, and they became like God. They didn't need God anymore because they figured they could do it on their own, and that's society all the way from then till now. Okay, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. God gave us a mind so that he could fill it with the wisdom that he had for us. The Bible says this, that God has prepared works for us to do that he prepared before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time, God prepared works for this guy to do. Not the works that I think I should do, but the works that he wants me to do. And he'll give me the wisdom to do those works. He asked me to be a preacher, and I work at it. I work at trying to find the answers. I work at trying to share it in such a way that my wife could understand. And that's not a put-down, so don't make it that way. Because my wife is my best critic. My wife is my best support. She puts questions at me that I go, huh, I never thought about that, you know. And that's my metal that sharpens some steel. Appreciate that. By the way, she just had a birthday. Long ago. All right, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your understanding. And you know what the word lean means? It means if you go against the wall here, I go like it's here, no problem. But if I start going away from it and away from it, there gets to be a point that if I take my hand off the wall, what's going to happen? I'm going to fall flat on my face. That's the kind of leaning he's talking about. Don't put all your weight on what you understand. You see, it's not a matter, people, what we understand. It's a matter about who understands everything. You follow me? It doesn't matter how smart we are. It's a matter of the fact that the one we serve and walk and follow is smarter than everybody. On his dumbest day, he's smarter than anybody else that he's created, all right? And he doesn't have any dumb days. Romans 1:28-32. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain knowledge of God, they had their own knowledge, so God gave them over to depraved minds so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and they disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. That's you and I without Christ. That's you and I, folks, without God. That's you and I without surrendering ourselves, becoming one with Him, and walking with Him according to His will for our lives. Romans 12:2. This is what we need. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Duh. We just read about that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we got to have a mind change. We've got to start lining ourselves up with God's plumb line instead of doing our way. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wow. It's all about this word, getting into it, understanding, letting God transfer His wisdom and knowledge to us. Colossians 3:1-5. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. There you go. Hidden where? With Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. That's how you do it. John chapter 5, verse 19. Everybody look at this. Because you see the example that we have for how it all works is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Here's Jesus talking. What does it say? Jesus gave them this answer. Verily, very truly, I tell you, the Son, who? Who is the Son? The Son can do nothing by Himself. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Isn't He the Son of God? Isn't He God? How can He be saying this? But Jesus is also man, and so Jesus as man is trying to get across because He's our example, people. He's the one that shows us the way to do it. He says, listen to you. Hey, listen, I'm Jesus Christ. Yes, I am the Son of God. But as a man, by myself, I can do nothing. You see, He can only, go back to that. He can do only what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. You know that Jesus Christ could not heal anybody? Are you listening? Jesus Christ could not heal anybody. He saw His Father healing the person. He simply did what the Father did. The word miracles, the literal definition is works of God. So he surrendered. He was one with the Father, and He was working with the Father, but it was the Father that was doing it through Him. That tells me, in John 14 or so, it says that, you know what? You're going to do the same things I did, and even greater things. Well, how can that be? How many of you raised the dead? We should be able to do it. That should be a part of our lives. And we to do everything that Jesus did. But the only way that's possible is for me to be one with Him and then let Him work through me. I can't do that. But I've seen the blind see, more to my surprise than anybody else's. All right? I've seen limbs been brought back and restored and so forth. But it wasn't Arvid that was doing it. It was God. And Jesus Himself. Now to go to verse 30. By myself, I can do nothing. There He says it again. I judge only as here. Jesus Christ never judged anybody. He judged according to what He heard His Father saying. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Are you getting it this morning? We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about this growing relation, progressing and constant intimate relationship with the Father and the Son. That is eternal life. And it's working with God. It's listening, hearing what He is saying. Pastor Jason has talked about knowing His voice and hearing His voice. People, we've got to. And when you know His voice, then He begins to impart wisdom to you. And you begin to apply things and do things. You have no idea the number of times that I've been sitting in a situation like in my car on Saturday morning and going, I have no clue. Me no mechanic. I don't have a clue. In comes my son who's worked on some cars. In comes my friend. And I'm going, and they say, well, we hear the gas pump being, it's on. We're hearing it, you know, make this noise. And Dave says, have you put gas in? How much gas has it got? Well, I put gas in, worked. I didn't know. But God gave somebody some wisdom, because I never would have thought about it, because the gate said this. Are you with me? Wow. Jesus could do nothing. All right. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Here's the answer. In your relation with one another, have the same mindset that Christ had. Start, people. Find out what the mindset of Christ was and then have that same mindset. Let's see what it says. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself what? He made himself what? Jesus made himself nothing. And remember he said, I by myself can do nothing. The reason why he could not do nothing is because he had made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. Wow. He's our example. He's our example. You want to be something in life, people? Start out by being nothing. See yourself as nothing. Have that kind of attitude. Nothing. I need God's help. I don't know about you all. I need God's help. I need to depend upon God's help. Got one more. John 14:6. How many of you this morning want eternal life? How many of you this morning that eternal life is knowing God the Father and His Son Christ? That's what it is. We talked about the Word of God. The Word of God tells me this, according to John 14:6. Jesus answered and He said, I am the way. What does He mean, I am the way? I'm the way to eternal life. I'm the way to live on this earth. I am the way to handle things. I am the way. There's no other way. I am the truth. You want wisdom? Ask who is truth. If you're struggling with something and you want understanding, ask the truth. Ask the one who is the truth. He doesn't have the truth. He is the truth. You want life? You got to be one with Him. You got to be walking with Him. You got to be in this intimate relationship with Him. It's all about that person, Jesus Christ. It's not about us people. It's about Him. Now, Him looking down at us, it's all about us. He came to earth. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? Because He loved the world. When He looks down, it's all about us. But we look up, it's all about Jesus. Nothing will ever happen in your life spiritually without Jesus. You don't have eternal life if you don't have this growing, progressing, constant, intimate relationship with the Father and Jesus. And really it boils down even closer to Jesus because He represents the Father. By Himself He could do nothing. He simply was showing us, this is how it works. I have chosen to become nothing and to be a servant of my Father God. That's our starting point, people. That's where it all begins. That's where it all stays. You start there. You give your life to Jesus. You surrender your life to Jesus. And then you surrender your will to Jesus. You surrender your mind to Jesus. You surrender your heart to Jesus. And you begin to work with Him as being one together. And you never stop choosing to follow Him. And that's how you're correcting and correcting and correcting. Recalculate. Do you all get it this morning? It's all about Jesus, people. I know that if I stick with Him, I'm going to add another bunch of years with Lois as husband and wife. And I'm looking forward to however many of that is. We would love the rapture to come and we'll go together. It would be great. If I stick with Jesus, you see, I already have eternal life. But there's the maintenance program. And I want to keep working at that maintenance program. I want to get together and be one with God the Father. I want to spend time with Him. I want to spend time with Jesus. I want to talk and communicate with Him as much as I possibly can. I love working with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is, I don't want to belittle it or go from spiritual. When I looked out that window of my box stand, and here come this deer. You have to understand, I'm a meat hunter. The vast majority of red meat that Lois and I eat every year is venison. We don't buy much beef. So I'm a meat hunter. And here come this deer. And I had said, God, if you bring me a deer and help me harvest it. And I didn't have a choice. And when I finally got over to it, it had been probably mauled by a bear. Its shoulder, there was a chunk of flesh that was about that big gone. And I said, thank you, Lord. I was able to harvest a deer that was probably never would have made it through the winter and so forth. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And I don't know where you are with hunting, but that's just why I was giving God thanks. I even gave God thanks when I cut my hand. Boy, that stung. And worse yet, when I did this one here, because that was a little deeper. And I said, okay, Lord, I give you thanks. Because I'm learning. I'm learning after all these years that He is my source. He is my provider. He's one that I love far more than anything else in this world. He is the way to eternal life. He is the truth about eternal life. In fact, He is eternal life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for directing and guiding in this whole message, in the preparation, in the sharing of it. And I know, Father, the truth that is here. And I ask you, Father, for everyone sitting here, including myself, probably at the top of the list, I ask, Father, for clarity, for understanding. I ask, Father, for letting this work within us, because, Father, I believe with all my heart that everyone here desires to have eternal life with you. And I pray, Father, that you will work in them all of what we've been talking about this morning. I love you so much, Father. You love me beyond words, beyond comprehension. There's nothing that can separate me from that love. There's nothing that can separate us from that love. Jesus Christ, you came to earth, you gave of yourself so that we could begin the process and live and breathe and work the process so that we have eternal life, so that we can be with you the rest of eternity. Thank you, Father. I ask you, Lord, to bless these people in a very special way today. In Jesus' name.